emergence of a data capsule. The capsule was programmed to climb out of Jupiter's atmosphere and establish itself in a circular equatorial orbit. From there, it would beam the contents of its memory core to the communication satellites in stationary orbit around Jupiter, which would relay the data to the receivers aboard Station Gold. In less than 2 minutes after the capsule popped out of the ocean, they would begin receiving its signal. Vishnevskaya sensed someone entering the visitors' gallery up along the top of the control center's circular chamber. She didn't bother to turn around, but instead moved her head slightly so she could see the newcomer's reflection in the dark screen on her console. It looked like Catherine Westfall. Vishnevskaya felt surprised. Why would Mrs. Westfall show up this early in the morning for something as routine as a data capsule?
The mission timeline calls for launching the capsule now, said Dorn. If we don't...
You can delay the launch for a few minutes, can't you? Deirdre pleaded.
Why? Jaeger demanded.
Take out the color from the images the Leviathans are showing, she said.
Take out?
I'm seeing images, Corvus explained, his voice high with excitement, even in the sound-deepening liquid perfluorocarbon.
Jaeger frowned at him.
I can't see colors, but I'm seeing pictures, Corvus insisted.
Drawings, like stick figures, almost.
Doran's face was impassive, but he muttered,
Canceling capsule launch.
His human hand reached for an orange glowing button on his console. Deirdre stared at her display screen while Dorn and Jaeger leaned toward the central screen on the cyborg's control console. Pointing over Deirdre's shoulder, Corvus said,
See? Can't you see the images?
The swaths of color along the Leviathan's flanks were now gray on the display screen. And Deirdre saw pictures. Shapes. They were crude, almost like stick figures, but definitely shapes.
That's the two of them, she yelped.
With us in between, Dorn said. That round figure must be us.
God damn,
Jaeger breathed. And there, Corvus said, that must be a stream of organics coming down from up above. Now the displays on both Leviathan's flanks showed many more creatures. A whole herd of them.
They're telling us that they eat the organics, Deirdre said.
And there's lots of them, Corvus added.
Dozens.
100 or so, said Dorn.
As they watched, the Leviathan's displays changed so rapidly they couldn't follow them. It was like watching a speeded-up video.
The computer can slow it down, Jaeger said.
Not yet, Corvus snapped. Let's get it in real time first.
Is all this being recorded in the data capsule? Deirdre asked.
Yes, Dorn replied. Automatically.
Deirdre felt her whole body quivering with excitement. The pain in her chest was still there. She could still feel it. But it was nothing but a minor annoyance now. The Leviathans are speaking to us. She could see the meaning in their imagery.
That looks like those sharks, Andy said.
And that's us, rushing toward them, Deirdre added.
Jaeger muttered, The charge of the friggin' Light Brigade.
They're replaying our little battle, Dorn said.
But they don't show themselves splitting up, reproducing, said Corvus.
They don't do Leviathan porn, Jaeger said with the barest hint of a chuckle.
It was difficult to make sense of the images. They flickered on and off so rapidly. It looked like the two Leviathans charging at the sharks, but it was too swift for Deirdre to be certain. The images of the sharks flicked off so quickly. Then at last she saw the circular image of their own ship and the two Leviathans on either side of it.
The sharks were gone. They've replayed our battle, all right, Corvus said.
The Leviathan's displays went blank. The enormous creatures swam on either side of Faraday in silence.
What now?
Jaeger asked.
Maybe they're waiting for us to reply, Corvus suggested.
So what do we say?
Jaeger demanded.
Greetings from planet Earth?
Replay what they just showed us, Deirdre said.
Replay their imagery?
Asked Dorn. Nodding, Deirdre said, show them that we receive their message and we understand it.
We think we understand it,
Jaeger corrected. At least show them that we received it, said Deirdre.
Very well,
Dorn agreed, turning back to his keyboard panel. Andy's lopsided grin went from ear to ear.
Well, they're intelligent, all right. We've established that much.
Dorn glanced at the mission timeline displayed on the auxiliary screen on the left side of his console.
We should have launched the data capsule 10 minutes ago, he said. Pop it now, said Jaeger. It ought to make Archer and the rest of the scooters pretty damned happy.
Linda Vishnevskaya stared at the digital clock display. 10 minutes, she realized. They should have launched the data capsule 10 minutes ago. She felt a cold hollow in the pit of her stomach. Something's gone wrong, she knew. Something's gone terribly wrong.
Behind her, up in the otherwise empty visitor's gallery, Catherine Westfall got to her feet and quietly stole out of the Mission Control Center. She couldn't suppress the victorious grin that curled her lips, despite the ache in her gut that still gnawed at her.
Grant Archer's office. Archer was shocked when he slid back the door to his office and saw Rodney Devlin sound asleep in one of his recliners. The Red Devil was snoring lightly. He was in his usual white chef's uniform, stained and wrinkled from use. Even in sleep, his face looked lined with worry, his mustache bedraggled. In his right hand, he tightly clutched his pocket phone. Glancing at his wristwatch, Archer confirmed that information from the first data capsule should be coming in within a few minutes. But what's Red doing in my office, he wondered. And how did he get in here? Archer almost smiled at that last question. Red can go anywhere he wants to, the station director realized. He's got the combination to every lock in the station, probably memorized every last one of them. He made a polite little cough, and Devlin snapped awake. Sitting up so abruptly, Archer feared he'd pop some vertebrae. Grant, Devlin said, his voice slightly hoarse. What are you doing here, Red? With a slightly hangdog look, Devlin answered, Hiding out.
Hiding out? From whom?
Westfall's goons. They came after me last night. I think they were out to kill me. Archer sank into the faux leather armchair next to the recliner. You'd better explain all this to me, Red, slowly. His expression turning rueful, Devlin said, Westfall wanted me to provide her with some gobblers. Those gobblers? Nanomachines? Right. She wanted, and you got them for her? Gobblers? Archer felt his insides begin to shake with fear and anger. Relax, mate, Devlin said, holding up both hands as if to shield himself from attack. I told you I wouldn't do anything to harm the station, remember? But you provided her with gobblers. His old sly grin spreading slowly over his face, Devlin said, I provided her with nanos, I did, but not what she wanted. Then just what in blazes did you do?
Linda Vishnevskaya drummed her fingers on the edge of the console. Nothing. No data capsule. They should have launched it 15 minutes ago. We should be getting its beacon signal by now. But there was nothing. No beacon from a data capsule. Nothing but silence in the nearly empty Mission Control Center. Vishnevskaya stared at the blank display screen as if she could make the capsule appear by sheer willpower. Nothing. silent.